Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, May 7th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is from our worship series, OMG, Jesus is Alive. The message today is, Jesus is Nowhere or Jesus is Now Here. The gospel reading is from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14.
I know we just prayed, but will you go ahead and pray with me again? Jesus, we do long to see you, and our hearts long to worship you. And sometimes we ourselves get in the way, or our eyes are focused in the wrong places. We ask you would send your Holy Spirit to focus our hearts, that we might know you in our midst, know you through the reading of Scripture and the hearing of good news. May you use my words and my preparation to carry forth your word that never fails. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Last week I tried doing the scripture verse by verse. I'm going to try that again this week. It's another story that lends itself to that. So in our Easter series, Oh My God, OMG, Jesus is Alive, we're looking at the different stories of how Jesus appears to people after the resurrection. So last week we looked at the road to Emmaus. This week, this is a story that comes from the Gospel of John. And it starts like this. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. So in the Gospel of John, after these things, this means after Jesus has been raised from the dead and Mary was in the garden and Mary saw him and thought he was the gardener. This is also after doubting Thomas, and that he's already appeared to the disciples and said, hey, Thomas, do you want to put your hand in my wounds? It's right here. So even after all these things, where are the disciples? But back to the beginning. They are back to the Sea of Tiberias, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee. It's the place where he called some of these disciples to follow him. Because they were fishermen. So they have now left Jerusalem. They are way back up north by the Sea of Tiberias. And this is how Jesus showed himself to them. One more piece of context for this story. We don't know how long after these other things this story happened. Could it have been 3 days later? Just their travel time? Could it have been a year later? John doesn't give us any context for how much later this happened. So in verse 2, gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. This is a significant chunk of the original band. It's 7 out of the 11. I wonder where the other 4 went. But there's a good group of them all together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. They sort of sound like they're having an ordinary activity on an ordinary day. Maybe they're wearing their work clothes. They're not expecting anything different about this day. Sometimes there's comfort in doing what you know how to do, or in waking up and doing the routine, and at least they were together. They went out and got into that boat, but that night they caught nothing. That happens when you're fishing, right? That's why they call it fishing, not catching. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus is out on the beach, but they don't know it. Does this sound familiar from last week, from the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is in their midst, but they have a hard time recognizing him again? Mary couldn't recognize Jesus, thought he was the gardener. Jesus had been walking with other people, but they're like, it's not really Jesus, or we don't know. I don't know, maybe he was backlit. right? When it's early dawn, maybe his appearance was different. Maybe he's just out of context. So Jesus is there on the beach, and what does he say to them? But, children, you have no fish, have you? It's not like Jesus even shows up like the angels and says, don't be afraid. He says, children, you have no fish. The word children here is colloquial. I think the best translation for it would be, hey, dudes, you're not catching anything, are you? It's got that informality to it. And they said, nope. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So any of you fish here? Where's Carol, right? Fishermen are always giving each other advice, sometimes, right? Because somebody catches something, you're like, hey, what bait were you using? Right? Oh, yeah, I was using mackerel heads. Oh, yeah, I'm doing better with salmon eggs. People, fishers talk to each other. And so they took this fishing advice from the guy on their beach, on the beach. They didn't do it because they knew it was Jesus. They didn't do this on God's authority to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. But it does seem like they were willing to try something different. And this time when they cast their nets into the water, they get different results. There were so many fish. Wow. They cast it in. They weren't even able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And that disciple who Jesus loved, so one of the disciples said to Peter, it's the Lord. That's his OMG moment. He recognizes, oh, something else is going on here. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciple came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. So when that disciple who Jesus loves has his OMG moment and tells somebody else, we don't get, again, the information here about how did he know? Was it because they had caught so many fish? Was it because the sun was higher up in the sky? How could he tell? One person said it, but notice a different person acted on it. So the disciple who Jesus loves says, it is the Lord, but Simon Peter, being Simon Peter, is the one who jumps into action. He's kind of the impetuous, the ADHD kind of disciple. So he jumps out of the boat and he swims to shore. And in that sense, he's the scene stealer, right? He's the guy, he's splashing in the water, he's jumping up and down. But I also want to give credit to those other disciples who stayed and did the work, the ones who did the work of hauling in the net and the boat to shore. Verse 9, when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard, and now he's helping, hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Picture this setting. Here's eight men gathered on the beach at dawn. There's a charcoal fire, probably the nice smell of some roasting fish and freshly baked bread. It's like having brunch on the beach with Jesus, with an ocean, with a waterside view. Imagine it being more like a picnic, sitting down, eating bread and fish together. And this time Jesus didn't provide everything. He provided some of what's there. And then he said, bring some of what you have too. And we'll join together and have a potluck meal together. And as they're sitting on this beach having breakfast, Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Nobody stated the obvious. They all knew it. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is a strange story. This is the same Jesus who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, who overturned tables in the temple, who calmly faced the chief priests and the governor of the land, who was crucified for being king of the Jews, and he's now on a lakeside tending a campfire and broiling fish? Jesus isn't even doing any miracles here. The fish and the bread may remind you of another familiar Jesus story where he was able to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And what did he do? He fed over 5,000, or 5,000 men plus the women and children. But here, Jesus is feeding 8 people with 153 fish. Doesn't take a miracle to pull that one off. And Jesus isn't teaching here either. He's not having parables. He's not having big, long discussions. He's not on the side of a mountain. In fact, their conversation Jesus doesn't have that much to say. What does he say? He says, "Dudes, did you catch anything?" He says, "Cast your net on the other side." And he says, "Come, have breakfast." Pretty ordinary stuff. Ordinary lakeside and fisherman comments on a day when the 7 disciples just picked up and went to work. But maybe what is ordinary and extraordinary about this story is that it opens us to the possibility that Jesus shows up in our workplaces too, in our ordinary come and go lives. In the midst of fishing, these guys have an amazing catch. And one of the disciples thought to attribute it to maybe something supernatural is going on here. And he started looking at the world with new eyes. As people who continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as an Easter people, we claim that Jesus is alive. We claim that his power is still with us. Go ahead and look at the sermon title in your bulletin. What does it say? What does it say? Jesus is nowhere? Or now here? But what does it say? It can kind of say either one. Depends where you put the spacing in the words. Some people in this congregation are pretty gifted at being able to see that Jesus is now here. You know some of them. They're the ones who are in the midst of driving down the road or as ordinary as walking across the parking lot or cooking dinner, have that sense of faith that God is alive and here. It's a gift to be able to recognize those times when Jesus comes quietly, comes to us in our daily routine, comes to us in gentle and subtle ways. I believe that we are surrounded by moments when Jesus is alive and in our midst. And although many people can claim that Jesus is nowhere, there's no miracles, there's no drama, there's no thunderbolt from the heavens, I also know that with eyes of faith and trust in the resurrection Christ, that Jesus is now here and powerful in 2017. So now I'm going to turn around and help you all help me preach this sermon, which is, when would you be able to say that Jesus is now here? If we're really claiming that Christ is resurrected and here, then those times that we recognize that Jesus is in our midst are important for us to share with one another. So I'm curious, and you got your bell this week as well that came? I warned you, I was going to ask you this question. You did? You did your homework. So you didn't do your homework. Okay. So the question is, where with your eyes of faith do you see, have you been seeing God in the last week or two? Wow. Jesus is amazing. Jesus who can show up in liquor stores, in blue skies, in arms of four-year-olds. Sometimes even at church. And sometimes on a beach, eating breakfast. May we go forth from this place with our eyes continually open for where Jesus might show up next. Amen? Well, we are at church. Not opposed to that. It's a time when we as a community can strengthen one another and remember that Jesus is alive and remember the gifts that Jesus gives to us. One of those gifts comes from Jesus feeding us, starting with the Last Supper when he was with his disciple. But then notice that when he comes back, he was with the disciples in Emmaus, and he broke bread with them, and their eyes were opened. And even in today's story where he's on the beach, he's cooking fresh bread and fish because he longs to feed his disciples and to eat with his disciples. That's part of what this meal is about. And we're celebrating it more often this Easter season. Some people might think, wow, that might be too frequent. We're having a little too much Jesus here. But the other way I think to think about it is to say that perhaps Jesus wants to show up more often in our lives than just once a month or even just once a week. That Jesus longs to be sitting down with us every single day. Jesus is the one who invites you. Come eat breakfast. Come eat this meal. And so all who want to respond to Jesus' invitation this morning are welcome to partake. We'll partake by intinction this day. This is our gluten-free bread, and you can tear off a piece and dip it into the cup and eat it and return to your seat. Please join me in a word of prayer. God, we give you thanks for your created world, for your creating power. We give you thanks for all the ways that you are present in the gifts of creation, and especially for the gift of bread and the gift of juice this morning. God, we thank you that you continue to reach out to humanity. You did that through the prophets, through those who wrote the Psalms, through all who have guided in the past and in the present. God, in the fullness of time, you brought Jesus, the Word made flesh, to be here and to live among us, teaching us your ways, healing the sick, feeding the hungry. We give you thanks and we remember that he was unjustly crucified, but that you turned the shame of that moment into triumph, and in raising him from the dead, that all the world might cry that Jesus is Lord. And every knee shall bend and every mouth shall confess that Jesus is Lord. God, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us who are gathered here and upon these your gifts. Make them be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And as we share in them, make this be a time of holy communion. Bind us together with you and with each other, and use this meal to open our eyes that we might recognize you in our midst and be able to proclaim you with faith, I have seen the Lord. Through Christ, in Christ, we pray. Amen. It was when Jesus was with other disciples that he took the bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it. And he shared it with those who were present, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do so in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. And again, giving thanks to God, he shared it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. And every time you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." And so we dare proclaim that here in Vallejo in 2017, that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, that Christ is indeed present here and now, that Christ has been and that Christ will come again to make all things right. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Will the servers please come forward?
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.